which everybody loves to see movies made about. It's fun to watch it. Whereas the man said, you know, work fascinates me. I could watch it forever.
Amen.
We think servanthood's wonderful, don't we? Isn't it beautiful to see a humble person like Mother Teresa? I'm sure she'd tell you something other than it's beautiful. At times, I know it has been excruciating for her. And if we can understand that when Jesus came, the scripture says, he came teaching the kingdom of God and saying, if the kingdom, if I cast out devils in the name of the, if Jesus, then the kingdom has come nigh unto you. Jesus came to rediscover the kingdom of God and bring it to the earth so that we could begin to live it now and move on all into it for the days ahead and for eternity. The scripture says the kingdom is our inheritance. But that's been preached so little and so lightly that we're pretty much up to, he's going to give me the kingdom. But see, when I give Star a big bone, he wags all over. He jumps as high as the refrigerator. He says, this is a big bone. But when we know that we've been given the kingdom, we say, because it's a religious term to us, because we're really religious about it. Heidi Baker said that she was ministering to large crowds of people back in the early days, even before her work in Mozambique. And she said the Lord said to her one day, stop! Go sit with the poor. You do not understand my kingdom. Whoa. Now, we know what the kingdom is. It's all these edges that people have thrown out there and told us it's good to do if you're in the church. It's not the kingdom. The kingdom is when he's king. The kingdom is when our hearts are yielded and surrendered. The kingdom is when we begin to do things the way Jesus taught to do in the kingdom.
That's right.
You see, he came back to earth after he ascended. He came back after he ascended from the dead. He came back, I meant to say, and began to give his disciples a crash course on the kingdom of God. Boy, were they pumped. People don't understand the kingdom. That's why we're not excited about church and about serving God, because we look around and we really don't know what to do next. We try to be good. We try to act right. You know, we try to do what the pastor says, some of us.
Working on it.
Psalm 115, verse 16 says, the heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. Now, he's given us management of the earth. And these people who are all about it, you know, out there, thinking they're going to do it themselves, kind of got a little bit of it right. They just can't do it, that's all. The Lord did give it to us. He has given the earth, and he has given the management of things. When the Lord began to teach me this, it was such a tremendous revelation. And it absolutely puts your mind and your heart and your emotions in a different place when you find out that your mandate is to be the inheritors of the kingdom of God, that he is establishing a kingdom for you. There is coming a wonderful wedding supper at one point. The whole thing will be consummated. Those aren't fairy tales. That's what he's really going to do. He also gave us, it was a restoration. He was preaching a restoration of what he gave Adam and Eve. If you go back to that, then you can really understand it. Adam and Eve, of course, gave it up to the lies of the enemy, which we're still doing today. But then the Lord sent Jesus to get it all back again. And so he is restoring the kingdom, Jesus, which we call the last Adam, because it's finished what he did on the work on the cross, finished what he wants us to have. We are heirs to his kingdom on earth. He's taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. This is an important part of our prayer every day. Jesus declared that his mandate was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What is there to repent of? Living an earthly, worldly life, detached and separated from him. Repent. There's a kingdom. I'm telling you about it. I'm telling you what your part is in it. I want you to be excited about it. And I want you to establish the kingdom. This means that he came to announce that with his coming, the kingdom would be restored. Jesus talked to, remember in the book of Acts, the disciples said, will you now at this time restore the kingdom? And he wouldn't answer them, did he? Because that's exactly what he came for. He began the restoration of the kingdom of God. Jesus talked all the time about the kingdom of God and the values and the lifestyle of the kingdom. Last week I told you that God gave the kingdom to Adam and Eve, and they were charged as co-regents. that bank, Region Bank, I got that all mixed in with how I spell co-regents and had the awfully struggle. I should just call Carol or something. Co-regents managing everything that was on earth. So he gave them dominion over the fish, and a lot of people go fishing. But a lot of people don't have dominion over the fish. Sandra Kennedy has a boat that has one of those deals that lets you see way down in the water, and you can just see what kind of fish you want to catch down. Isn't that great? And then she just flung the wheel of that great big boat over to me and said, here, you drive a while. But he gave them dominion over fish and birds, all that was in the air and on the earth, and they forfeited their rulership when they disobeyed God. Now, all we got to do is start obeying God again to get back in the kingdom. And to, first of all, be born again, if you're not. God sent Jesus to restore the kingdom. Jesus called the last Adam because he would finish that which the first Adam failed to do. His plan was to influence earth from heaven through mankind. God's plan was to influence earth from heaven through us. How's he doing through you? I mean, do people every now and then tell you, you're such a kind person, or thank you for being generous, or there's really something different about you, or I'm impressed by your family. Well, you ought to get something said, you know, not all those, but something said. And I want to talk to you just a little bit today, a little bit more explicitly, if you guys give me a help. A little bit more explicitly about what the kingdom is like and how the kingdom works and how everybody's going to walk off and leave me. Okay, all right. These things are easy to... I have noticed that when someone comes to give me a little help, I don't know if anybody has ever taken my left hand. Isn't that interesting? I guess because most people are right-handed. But I always have to tell them, left hand. And if it's a man, I have to say to them, bring your arm down a little, will you? Men come to take your hand, but their hand is way up here where you can't even reach it. Nah, I'm just talking. I'll just do with what I do want that water. Thank you. The water, Jay. Thank you. How many of you would like to understand what the kingdom of God is, what it's about, and what difference it would make in how you live your life? In the first place, we don't live great lives in America. They're dumb. They're all mixed up. They're not connected with anything. They don't have a plan, except maybe a plan to get to where we can make some more money or some short-sighted plan. But we don't know about God's plan. And we spend a lot of our lives wondering, am I worth anything? What am I here for? Does God really want me here? Would it make any difference? Had you ever asked the question, would it make any difference if I were not here? Whatever that thing is that you're doing right now in the earth would quickly fall away. It would make a great change. I heard of a couple. The woman was a great preacher, and People hardly ever heard from her husband, except he prayed for people a lot, would bless them. But when he died a few years before she did, they said it just felt like the whole place was empty. He filled it with his prayers, with his love, with his blessing. You will indeed be missed. I'll tell you how I know. The Bible tells us that he foreordained works for us to do. And there'll be more than mowing the lawn. It'll be some, but it won't necessarily all be real spiritual looking. It might be taking something to eat to someone who's hungry, or it might be helping someone who's sick, or it might be someone who's visiting, working, ministering in the prison. Because God's ways are not our ways. It's so important to understand that the kingdom of God is a servant kingdom, in which the last shall be first. Everybody say, servant kingdom.
Servant kingdom.
Does that mean you serve? Does that mean that the servant, that the king is a servant too? Obviously, we saw that he served himself all the way to death on the cross. He allowed himself to be served up for whatever your need is. Did you ever get magnanimous all of a sudden and say, oh, just whatever you want to do, that's, and mean it, I'm talking. Now, in Tennessee, we have this thing, oh, Lordy. Tennessee shuffle board will drive you nuts sometimes. Go, you take it. Are you sure? You won't need it? No, you take it. Now, I don't want to take it if you're going to be using it. Tennessee shuffle board can go on for hours. And I've taught some of my friends, in Tennessee, when somebody offers you something, they've put up some beans or something. It doesn't matter. You don't like it. You don't want it. Tennessee social is take them and be happy and thrilled about them. Don't be silly. You don't refuse it just because you've got too much yourself. And all of these things, door hanging is important. I mean, really and truly. In my own family one time, John was kind of getting uncomfortable. We were sitting around their table. He said, honey, I just really need to go home and get in a comfortable position. And a member of my own family called me and said, hey, we didn't offend you or something on Sunday, did we? You left so suddenly. Now, we said why we had to go. Now we're going to go. We're so sorry to have to go. Everything was so good. We went through all of that, but we didn't door hang. And what you got to do is most of your farewell must be hanging on the door. And that proves you just hate to go. I just hate to leave. Well, let me just tell you one more thing. You know, that kind of thing. I wonder why I told you all that. In Matthew 20, the mother of James and John asked for greatness for her sons. Now think about this. I want my sons to be great in your kingdom. She said to Jesus, don't mean to press or anything, but I would like for you to move some of these other disciples over so that my sons, because look at all the things they've done, 1 through 72. So, you see, there's this kind of thing that happens. Why did it happen? Because those that had worked hard and worked with the leader and the king was the one that got the rewards, right? And so it was just normal for her to say, now don't forget my boys when you come into your kingdom, whatever that is. Because they had no idea what it was going to be. So he told her, now this is very critical to know. He told her that in the kingdom you don't find greatness seeking titles or positions. And one of the young men that graduated from our Bible school, his name is Samuel Finney, Pachigali. And he wrote me a text the other day saying that, see, he graduated from our school, but just with a, what do we call that, a certificate of whatever to minister. But he had to have a ministerial license or degree or something like that, or the government of India was going to take him from his position. Now, the guy's only built 8 or 10 churches and, you know, all these kinds of things, but you don't have that little piece of paper because the world worships those kinds of things. But the scripture says the kingdom is in power. It's not what's beside your name. It's in your obedience to Jesus Christ and understanding his ways. And so you're wondering about Samuel, so let me say that we, you know, we're working on what we can do, because he went also, I think it was a year, year and a half, to another college here in America, and if we can help him to get something the Indian government will think is acceptable. Now, the paper is what's acceptable, not what he's done. Well, that's ridiculous. Yeah. It's stupid. Really, it is. And so, but anyway, we're going to try to help him. They ain't going to take him out of that place because he's doing too much good.
Right.
You probably will be meeting him at some point. I think he's coming in for a family reunion. And when you have a family reunion of the Kamanapalis, you've got a pile of people there. He told her that in the kingdom you don't find greatness seeking titles or positions. In the kingdom you serve your way to greatness. Jesus himself came to serve, not to be served. Think about it. Well, I'm the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Nobody even had a special ceremony for my arriving here. When you arrive in India, oh, they just do everything. They have a parade. They get out all their cars. They get these, don't know what they're called in India, in they're called leis in Hawaii, hang around your neck and the bugs crawl out from them pretty soon. But they're pretty for a little while. and they'll have huge signs, you know, welcome, honorary, or whatever they've dreamed up for you for that visit, you know. And it's like they're making you great by lifting you up, but that'll never make any of us great. In the kingdom of God, it's by humbling ourselves. Do you ever try to get Fuchsia Pickett to go through a door before you? It's like you have to fight. No. Preferring your brother always, my dear. And so she really did understand about the servant thing. And as we go through our walk, sometimes God can't trust us to be much of a servant yet. But he'll teach us along the way. Then if he can turn us into a servant, then he can turn us into someone really useful as a citizen of the kingdom. Jesus himself came to serve, not to be served. He modeled the core value of the kingdom of God, servanthood. In Matthew 6:33, he said, if we would seek the kingdom first and his righteousness, everything else would be given to us. So remember that next time you're waiting in a line. If you seek the kingdom of kindness first and be nice to the ones around you and don't try to manipulate to get in front of them, then the Lord will add to you what you need. It's hard to do it in the little things of life. Let me do it in a tiny thing. Which slice of tomato do you take for yours now in this wonderful season? Be sure you give your brother the best one. It's not always easy to do, besides the size of the one you're getting fit your sandwich better. We seek, but we don't understand God's priorities for our lives. I'm really preaching you a message that can change your life if you will embrace it.
Amen.
It can absolutely change your life. I know the day came in my life where he taught me about letting him break my heart with the things that break his heart. Really. And not just in Christian niceness. Most of us have learned how to be nice. Some of us are in too big a hurry to even be nice. But it's another thing when you... Anytime I've been with Heidi, even when she was here, I thought, are you ever going to quit hugging people so we can go home? Just because I'd just be so tired. You know, that's the natural man. These people with extra bottles and bags of energy... the rest of us should be protected from them somehow. And they just keep pouring out and pouring out. God's, of course, we understand that we're not going to enter the kingdom unless we're born again. Then we are to demonstrate the nature of God in everything we do. In this way, God establishes his kingdom on the earth. The greatest tragedy in life is not death, but living life without a purpose. A purpose. A poipus. Remember that our calling is always, just as Jesus, to seek and save the lost and make disciples, and to be citizens of His kingdom. Oh, I don't think I see Janet, do I? Well, Janet became a citizen of the United States on Saturday.
Wow.
In Nashville, so we have to break out the flags and have a parade next time we see her here. Because where your citizenship is where your culture is. It's the platform from which you work for the glory of God. Now, He's made us citizens. He said our citizenship is in heaven, and He has set our citizenship here that we are to be His ambassadors here.
Yes.
So we are concerned about what is happening that does good or bad for His kingdom. We're not all about trying to make this world great. The Pentecostals have an old song, "This world is not my home. I'm just a stranger here." Well, really and truly, we are pilgrims, another scripture says. We are passing through. We're supposed to love it. We're supposed to like it. We're supposed to enter into it and do our best to change it for God's glory. But this is not our home. Anybody know about this? It's not our home. And we're going to be with Him forever, and His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Don't ever forget that. The kingdom of heaven is our inheritance. And Jesus told of the day at the end of time when He will sit on His throne of glory with all the nations gathered before Him for judgment. And there will be only two people, either the righteous on the right hand, that's the sheep, or the goats on the left hand. Let me read this a little to acquaint you. Uh-oh. Pages, turn page. No, I didn't. I'm okay. Excuse me. At least there were some words there, but the pages were funny to me. But if you can find words, you can still keep talking, no matter what the page number is. Been there, done that. Matthew 25:37. Now, let's see if I can get this to come out right. Yeah. "Then the righteous answered Him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry or fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? Or when saw we..." The righteous were not even aware that the good they were doing by Him, for Him, and through Him. They were doing it because it was in their heart. Now, I've seen people at times, I think they're just made that way. They're just ones that always reach out to help you and always say, "No, you go before I do," and all those kinds of things. And then there are others, they don't know you're there. Be thankful they didn't step on your toes. "When saw we thee sick or in prison and came to thee? And the king shall answer and say, Verily I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it for one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me." People that you maybe were taught somewhere along the line, they don't matter, don't even respect them, don't even pay attention to them, just ignore them, because they really are nobody. But you were taught in different kinds of subtle ways as you were growing up that you're the important one, that you got to stand out there and make your place in life and elbow anything out of the way that's in your way. Oh, it's wonderful to succeed. We expect to. But while we are doing that, also treating the least that are those around us as if they are important like we are. We are important to God. He does want us to be successful. But it's very hard not to prefer ourselves when we go into any kind of situation. Humble service is so natural and so second nature to the righteous with a servant heart that they don't think of themselves as having done anything special, though they really have. If they are asked about it, they say, "It's the least I could do." Or something like, "Well, I wouldn't have my part." And it's important to have your part. At the picnic on Friday night, Wilmer's wife, Becky, came around to me, but she had a little bag full of sweaters, because believe it or not, right here in Tennessee, that late in July, it got really chilly. Yeah. And so they had the mindset, there's some people down there uncomfortable, which I really was. And what a wonderful thing that somebody, just like it was falling out of heaven, would come by with a bag full of sweaters. Are you a little bit chilly? We brought these in case. Come on. She didn't even know that the Lord had messed with her heart a lot to get her to be that kind of person. But when we do that, when we show people love and respect and honor, then we ourselves are being humble. You know, Miles Monroe, I mentioned to you that you know that he's written at least a couple of books on the kingdom. He wrote them about 20 years ago. I wrote my book called Kingdom Principles in 1978. That's more than 20 years ago. And one of the touch points was these books on the kingdom that Dr. Monroe and I became friends. And I appreciate him so much, but this is the thing I will always remember him after his passing a few years ago, is he never did anything but try to help me. Yeah. And it just was done if you said, I'm not being able to get this publisher to put much energy into what they're doing to try to publicize my book. He just flat called them. Next day I get a call from the publisher. What are your suggestions of what we could do to make your book sell better? You know, and to another publisher, he called this publisher up with me on the line. This is a different one. And I had a book not yet published. In fact, it's my most recent one, my latest one. And probably the last one. Without some great vision or great surge of energy about writing a book. And so I'm on the phone with this guy, like the owner of the company. I want to introduce you to someone, he says. And she writes fabulous books, so you need to meet her. And I understand you already have her manuscripts. Now, let me tell you about her. So he goes on with this long bunch of stuff. And her books sell well, too. And I thought, now, do you really know that? And he said, all of these things. So the editor said, I'll read it myself, I promise you. We'll go to work on it. Oh, you're my man, he said. Now, what did he get out of that? Nothing. That's time and effort and all of that to promote my book. This, when you're doing things for other people where you're not going to get something back, when Heidi and Roland's daughter and her husband got married in Mozambique, they prepared a great wedding feast. They invited those that could not invite them back, as the scripture says. They didn't invite a bunch of hoity-toits or religious socialites. They invited the poor people, the downtrodden who could never pay them. I think there were 10,000 people there. They really will come if you say there's going to be a feast. I just want to say, now really think, in America, think of somebody doing that. Are you kidding? It cost me $25,000, $30,000, which I can't understand no matter how far out here I scratch my head. I guess if John were here, he would tell you how much our whole wedding cost. All sponsored by his grandmother, $65, and I borrowed the dress. Hey, how many of you think we're just as married as anybody you know?
I think so.
We get into the world culture, and we get involved in all these things, and we leave out the poor and the needy and those that are hungry. And we're just always pouring more and more on those who already have. This is a big kingdom message. I'm asking the Lord to make us a church that operates like a mission station in the places I've been. You are in this world. You relate to it. You invite people into it. Of course, it's truly American right here. But your philosophy is as if you are a missionary. And every day when I got up when I was in Mozambique, if you didn't if you weren't careful, you'd get trampled in the people running out to get into some bus or truck to go out into the field where they were going to take them and have a rally, a meeting, a medical outreach, something like that, because their purpose was to seek and save the lost, like Jesus said our purpose. So I think it'd be nice if we clear away some of our cobwebby philosophies about life and not put so much effort into always serving ourselves, but to put effort into serving those that Jesus came to serve.
Amen.
Now, we'd have to change a little bit to do that, but how many can you say, I can change?
I can change.
See, I want to go to one of those churches where they do something exciting. Well, go to one of those churches where they really think they're here on a mission, and they've got a mission to reach out and bring in the lost. Bring people in that are sick and help them get healed. All of these different things are direct contact with your mission, not just things in between that make you feel better about yourself or make people think that you're a better Christian. Okay, I want to get this across without beating it into the ground. So say, go on then. All right. People that are real, the sheep, that are on that judgment day, they're not using serving as a stepping stone to be promoted. Jesus so identifies with the hungry, thirsty, sick, destitute, cast offs, that he regards acts of kindness and compassion done for them as if we did it to him. That just fixes it for me every time I get stingy on my compassion. You'll be doing it for Jesus. You'll be doing it for Jesus. Oh, did you see how he was dressed? Did you see how she did? She see? And most time I say, I didn't notice, but I did see that she seemed to have some hunger for God. We got to get away from all this other stuff. God's plan is for us to enter the kingdom, understanding that our purpose is to serve, to reach out, and to bring others in. Same reason he came. And wherever we are and whatever we do, we are ambassadors of the King of the kingdom mission. And to the goats, he brings a message of judgment. Did you know that? Did you know that people will be judged for all eternity for not serving Jesus? How many of you know this? I don't believe in hell. Oh, it's okay. It doesn't change the truth of it. Just go read what Jesus himself had to say about it. I don't dwell on it, but I know that there's a place I don't want to go. And I know there's a place that I'm planning to go. And I know that there's a work I'm planning to do while I'm here, because my first priority is to seek the kingdom and his righteousness. And everything else will be added. And to the goats, he brings a message of judgment. Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say unto those on the left, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, it's not prepared for you. But if you refuse, the King is a place worthy of you. For I was hungry, and you did not give me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. Let me tell you, something happened to me the other day that probably, I mean, I'd say very few people on earth ever had it happen to them. My hairdresser, God put a love for me in her heart. And so she was getting ready to retire anyway. So she asked me if I would like for her to help the people by designing it to put in a little place where she could do my hair at home and I wouldn't have to go out. And yeah. And I said, well, that's marvelous. And, that's been about 6 months or so ago. And then along the way, she's listened to me talk, and she's found out what things are meaningful to me, you know, what things really help me. This past Sunday, she called and said, are you home? Have you eaten lunch yet? And I said, no. And she said, well, I've made, and she told me what she cooked. And I was, would it be okay if I just ran it over to you? Would you like to have that for your lunch? Oh, my gosh. It was the dream meal of the Tennessean. It was green beans with the strings off.
All right.
Little potatoes with thin skins on them. You know those. Cornbread, like who taught her to make cornbread? It was far out. Wonderful. And then you have to have tomatoes and cucumbers. Oh, and slaw. I want to say this so people can hear it, which almost no one ever makes anymore. Just thought I'd say that.
For the next big man.
Right. By the way, slaw is really good for you, too. That's another thing. So anyway, she had all of this wonderful meal, but she said, now, Joan, you go and sit down. You're not going to serve anything. So she served all three of us, and we had enough, and Joan saw to it there was enough left over for me to have another plate the next day. Now, you know, that's really a kind thing to do, and she just beamed while she was doing it. It wasn't some big labor. It was really a labor of love. But we have to be open to hear the Holy Spirit tell us things like that. And don't be a member of the I Know I Ought To Club.
Right.
Or I might need to find out if they need anything. There's a man in the area, Pastor Graham, who has a message that he does just with a handkerchief, sort of a large handkerchief. And he demonstrates the way different Christians try to act out their Christianity. And one comes and touches the corner of it to her own forehead and says, oh my, it's rather warm in here. I thought I'd come by to see if you needed anything. And the other one comes by and puts it on like an apron. You know, there are people come into my house. Don't leave if they see any dirty dishes until they wash them. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I wouldn't have thought of that. See, but that comes from their heart. And you, next time you go in there, everything's all clean in the kitchen. Just sort of a kind of like a built-in thing. So, I was hungry and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. It's hard to have strangers around, isn't it? One of the presidents used to say, you know, God bless these comers and goers, and Dad blame these comers and stayers. Sounds like Truman, doesn't it? How many of you remember a president named Harry Truman? We had one time, and he used bad language. So the one we have now is not the only one who ever used it. Just thought I'd tell you that. Or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee. Then shall the righteous, excuse me, wrong page again. I must put it up here left-handed or something. Or it's somebody's fault, but I can't remember whose. Cheer up, we're almost home. Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. You weren't ministering to Jesus when you weren't ministering to them. I've ministered in prisons numerous times through the years. It's sort of like a different culture, of course, altogether. And the man just said, just as glibly, just like he was talking to anybody about anything, well, you know, I just never should have killed my wife. La, 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 la. It was just all a part of his sentence. It was a little shocking to me. Because we don't often talk about things like that. But do they ever need somebody to talk to them? Sometimes we don't talk to people because they're not as pleasant as other people to talk to. Or not as stimulating, you know. We have all kinds of our own reasons for it. But it's basically, isn't it, lack of concern? Just lack of concern. I can tell people that have been in a church where they teach about this with expectation, because those people will be doing those things. And I'm talking about people from other churches. My hairdresser that I talked about, they have set hard and heavy on taking people food if you love them and you think that they need it. Thank God.
Amen. Good.
It's really wonderful. It's wonderful to come to a place in our life where a change seems good. And we would like to see our church still be Shekinah Church. Everything looks the same. All of that kind of thing. We do a lot of the same things. But everybody has a philosophy that when I go out to work each day, Beth goes out into her social work, and who else? Mike goes out to wrangling with people to get the best deal. And different people, when they go out, the doc goes out to comfort people and they shine those pearly teeth on them and cheer them up. And I said to a doctor one time, you are one of the most fortunate people in the world. Not only do you get to be with people, but you get to touch them if you put your rubber gloves on. And you get to show them in a real way. A lot of times you get to help fix them. Isn't that great? Don't you wish you could fix more people? And so when I see that, see us as each of us, my job is my mission. And out there I see people and I talk to them about Jesus. And if I can, I lead them to Jesus. If not, I take them another step. If they have a need, I offer to pray for it. Or if there's a need somebody in our church can minister to, I offer to set them up an appointment. I'm talking about having the love of God, which ends up in being the love of people, on your mind.
Yes.
Yes, amen. I read a pastor wrote an article recently, and he said, I've quit using the term volunteers in the church. Isn't that what everybody in the church is there for? I mean, really, it's like the volunteers get a golden star or something. Every one of us are to every minute be about the mission that is ours.
Yes.
Not a handful of us volunteering if we can't get out of the way of the people who are asking us to. It's all about changing our philosophy. And I just love it when people just sit around and think about some good thing that they can do for some person. I hope some of you will send Jean Call a card or go and visit her. Or if you know other people like that, that you can reach out to. What did Jesus do when he came to sick people? He stopped, he touched them, he ministered to them. And we have the further thing that we can pray for them with expectation. Now this is just very common. This is just like taking the gospel and if you were going to live it for your life. That's what I'm talking about today. But I'm also giving you the background because God is building his kingdom right now. And we are inheritors of the kingdom of God. And it's an everlasting kingdom. And it will never be taken away from you. But first you've got to get in. And secondly, you've got to serve as a citizen in the kingdom and make it your priority. It doesn't mean you won't have many important things to seek, but make it the priority in your life and put it before other things. First, his kingdom.
Yes.
And his righteousness.
Yes. Amen.
Okay, so these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. The kingdom of heaven is so full of promise and power and provision. It is truly such good news. Why aren't more people around the world rushing to get in it? Some people are rushing to the latest church if it has enough events or if it's pretty enough. It's whatever it is that they're looking for in church. But the kingdom of God needs to be preached and made so attractive that people will be rushing to get into it. The scripture does say the kingdom of God hereafter will be preached and people will press to enter it. You know who pressed to enter the kingdom? The woman who had the bloody issue. She pressed. She went where she wasn't even supposed to go. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. Other people, the woman who came to the party she wasn't invited to. poured out the alabaster box. She was pressing. She wanted to find out how to worship the King of the Kingdom. These people were pressing to work and walk in the kingdom of God. If you don't know how to live your life, if you say, I'm just so confused, I challenge you, read just the scriptures on the kingdom of God.
Yes.
It'll tell you just exactly how to live,
right,
how to rear your children, what to seek for first, how to glorify God as you live your life, how to hear from Him, all of these other things. It's just really a blueprint for the living of our lives. If it is truly such good news, the kingdom, why aren't more people around the world rushing to get in? Everyone wants to know that they have power in life in order to overcome the tragedies of life, as well as discovering the ability to rise up and meet the challenges. We all long to know that our lives have meaning, purpose, and hope. We all want, yearn. Don't you want to know that when you have a tragedy, you'll overcome it?
Yes.
You either overcome it or you're out of here one way or the other. The problem is that people, why aren't they rushing to get into it? People have not been fully taught and embraced the revelation of the kingdom of God. I want to ask you, in the past two Sundays, how many of you have learned a few things about the kingdom of God? We're going to learn about this. We're going to know about this. You're going to get excited when you fully understand, embrace. Well, Suzanne, that was a doctor here, her last name, Wallace. She came to me after I'd preached on the kingdom one day, and she said, I am so much more excited about going to work now that you preach the inside advantage that doctors have for presenting the kingdom. Oh, she was a neat cookie, too. She'd call me and say, I led this man to the Lord tonight. Well, you know, that doesn't happen every day with doctors and nurses, but you do have really good opportunities. So let me close with this. Another way, if you want to learn about how to live your life and what the kingdom is like, I'll give you a way to take a little advanced course. Just go to your concordance and look up the kingdom of heaven is like. And it will give you there about 10 ways that Jesus tells you what the kingdom is like, and it's not like the world. The kingdom is not like the world. That's the reason we get so swallowed up in it, is that we are wasting our energies if we are not setting as first the kingdom of God. We are citizens of another kingdom. We are here on this earth as ambassadors. Jesus tells the parable showing us what the kingdom is like. Let me just give you one here. He says it's like a king giving an invitation to a great wedding and have many refuse, especially the ones who should hear it first, the religious people. And all the ones. Did you know that Amy McPherson, who had a great healing ministry, took that wonderful healing ministry into many, many denominational churches until they decided to close the door to her. And so there she was with a manifestation of the kingdom, and they just said, thanks for coming to us, a church. It does seem likely that we'd receive you, but we're not going to. So that's what happened here. The ones that should have come refused. Well, I guess it's all over then. If those that really know what it's about and they know about God and they refuse the kingdom message, then I guess there's no answer, is there? There's an answer. In another place, he says, who is it? Harlots and who else go in before the Pharisees? It's two people in that kind of category. And they're going to go in before you guys do, because they see their need of being in a kingdom where there's healing, being in a kingdom where there's deliverance, being in a kingdom where you can learn how to rear your children and not lose them to the world, have them get on drugs. Live in a kingdom where you really have a divine purpose for your whole life. So what's the answer? If those who should be coming don't want to, what is the answer? Jesus said, go out to the highways and hedges.
Come on.
Go out to the highways and hedges and bring all you can.
Yes.
You brought somebody 15 years ago, well, bring a whole bunch more. Bring all you can. Get this idea to bring everybody you can bring. He tells them, and then in another scripture, very companion to it, he tells them the kingdom is like going out to fish, and the fishermen, we saw them do this in Mozambique, the fishermen throw out the net. Now, when you throw out a net, you're inviting everybody. When you put out an advertisement of what you're going to do in church, you're inviting everybody. So don't complain when several weird people show up. Even if you had to take one or two out, it's worth it to get the ones that the Lord brought, because the Lord said if you let them settle around long enough, then he's gonna bring his judgment and he'll put out the ones that he doesn't want there. It's not up to us. It's not up to us to judge. It's up to us to draw, to love, to give.
Yes.
And he tells them to take a net and bring as many as
yes,
we can.
Amen.
As to trap the net. You know, a net is like a trap, isn't it? And really and truly, and you don't mean it that way, but when you have an event that's special, like we did recently with those great preachers that we had and ministering in the prophetic, that draws people in. And the purpose is, if they come to a picnic, let's say, a lot of people have started coming to our church because they came to something like that, because we threw out the net. So he says, even the very ones that you would think would come won't, but if you'll throw out the net, you'll get all kinds. And the Lord will take care of the ones that really he doesn't want there for whatever reason. Although, I can't imagine Jesus not wanting many people in church, can you?
No.
Because, from what I read in the scripture, he doesn't even keep people from worshiping that don't even know him yet. And you'll find in the scriptures that people want to come and worship him, and through that they get saved. We must not be so silly about things. And so what we want to do is that we want to throw out the net, we want to send out the call, we want to let people know. He tells us to focus on gathering and leave the judgment and separating to him. And it's very important that we put our focus there. Now, how many of you learned something today that you're going to use this coming week? I'm going to follow you around, Keith, and make sure you do. He had that hand up real confident. Keith, I'm going to do my best to do it. I'm out in places a lot, and I talk to people, Donna Joan, a lot. All the time I talk to them about Jesus, and I ask them about their lives. I'm not at any place just to do that thing. I'm there also to see who I can reach for Jesus, right? So I want us to ask the Lord to baptize us in a new anointing. Without all you do is just step forward. Nobody gets hurt. I don't come out and mangle anybody. And we just simply pray, I pray, that God would give a fresh anointing. Come on, you guys, come on up here just a minute. And I want to pray for it. This is a new day we're in.
Yes, ma'am.
Besides, when I get you up here, I can see you better. Could I have some people right here in this middle place? I just want you where I can see you. All right, this is great. You know, church, the more we gather together and worship God and hear the Word of God, reach out and receive it, and implement it, the more spiritual we become, the closer we are to God. And even like, you know, in older books that I've read, the churches were always having ice cream socials. That's what that sounds real corny to us, you know. Oh, but we've got so much choice anymore, we wouldn't want to just be bound to ice cream. though some people might, I don't know. But the more we gather like that, you know, as a family, get to know each other, get to know each other's needs, and find out how we can help each other, then the more strength that we have. You know, that nurse that visited our house said she'd met several of you all, and that you were really strong people, dedicated to what you were doing, and I thought, amen.
Yay.
No, she said, I'm very impressed. I'm glad I got that story, aren't you?
Yes.
And so I'm thankful that we can witness and testify to our community by reaching out to them in all the ways that we know to do, really helping them. I tried to give money to someone for doing something for me recently, and I really wanted to because I felt like they could use it, and it was something I would have paid someone else to do it if I hadn't tapped into that person's skills. And they just told me to just sort of get down and be nice, and they were not going to receive the money. And I said, why not? And they said, because it's the thing that I have that I can give. Let's concentrate on giving,
yes,
sharing, and whatever kind of little thing. If you would have asked me, before I was saved, what's your gift that you might have to give to God someday, I'd say, duh, gift. I didn't see myself really as having any gifts. It had to become involved in the anointing of the kingdom before it could sort of bubble up and become freely what it was. So God will bring the best out of every one of you because He has a purpose. He has a purpose for your life, and that's to be a part of a group of people that are going to be a demonstration,
yes,
of what His love is, of what worship is. And let me just say this, and I'm finished. That when we began this ministry, we didn't look for a church to rent, not that you shouldn't, but I just had a sense the Lord was saying, have a place. And I said, how are we going to get this place? He said, you're going to make it. We're going to make this place. So we built this, almost everything that's here, with our own hands, with our own money, not all the lies of where people say we got this money, that money, because it's not ours anymore because we put it into this. But we did that as missionaries to our area, just like I pictured it, just like if I went to Mozambique, I would make myself one of those little huts and swept my front yard instead of mowed it. And so that the Lord said, want you to go in there and build something like the culture around you, but will bring the kingdom of God to earth in the sector that I've given you. And He said, I want you to introduce and implement prayer and worship. And that we didn't even know that revival was going to be a part of it. And then I want you to put that into people like Samuel Finney that I just mentioned, and people who in all the world and wherever. And then they shared these things and spread the kingdom. The kingdom is also worship, and it's prayer. And it's all of these other things. So we are to distribute the kingdom truth that we have, but let it begin with a very solid cornbread and beans part of it. Even the kindness. Someone used to sit at our table. I can't remember where it was. Somewhere I was. There were several people sitting at the table. And this person, he was an older man, so he could get away with it. And if you didn't smile when you passed him something, he said, anyone who deserves a piece of bread deserves a smile. So he would make us be smiling all the time. And we're passing everything. He brought us up a notch before we were just gloomy eaters. So every little thing, every little kindness, let's let it be deep in our culture, shall we?
Yes.
All right. Would you lift your hands to Him so that we can receive a fresh anointing today? And we're going to be learning about being kingdom people, having a kingdom culture, establishing his kingdom on earth, because we're going to ultimately be a part of his kingdom, which is eternal, and we will sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Is this all not wonderful?
Yes,
but you've got to get your
yes.
practice in so that you can be that kind of people now. If you believe for that wonderful kind of reality in the future, then right now is when he's training you to get into this and changing you and building compassion. I have a person here who asks me about compassion, and I give them little stories about how God knocked the uncompassion out of me in a situation, or the selfishness, whatever things are not compassion. The Lord taught me these things. So put yourself in the place where you can be taught these, where you come into that kingdom culture that is so very different. The world culture is always reaching and grabbing and wanting to show themselves off. And by the way, I'm in favor of people getting credit and degrees and all of that. I think it's good to honor the success of that which is good, which builds, because they're going to use that in the kingdom.
Right.
But I'm talking about see me how great I am, like like John's mother. You know, I want my kids to see. You know, did I tell you that when we first went back, it was right after I got saved, and in my Methodist church, I say this about Methodists, they give you some room. And the pastor heard about it, and he invited the young people to come back and have the service that Sunday morning and give us their testimonies. And each of our young people, can you remember John, can you imagine John Curran just saved and how on fire he was? He was just so crazy. And they let us come back and share about this citizen, this new kingdom that we were now citizens in. And we put a sort of a, wherever we were, our touch was felt. And they thought that what we did here, they were liberal enough to think, that's a fine thing they're doing out there. And some of the other religious people were just jealous. But when you're part of the kingdom, you're all doing it together.
That's right.
You want your brothers and sisters to grow. When I pass the home of my enemies, if I think about it, I bless them on my way by. Or anyone that I've heard has spoken against me, you know, that kind of thing. I don't really have enemies because they just get so worn out with me praying for them. But the thing is, if we take upon ourselves the kingdom responsibility, the power of God will begin to settle with us. Sometimes I think we try to go about it the wrong way. And we try to become big and powerful just by things that seem to be spiritual, right? But kind is a big word too.
Yes, it is.
Loving, self-giving, that kind of thing. Okay, just lift your palms like that. And let the Holy Spirit speak to you for just a moment here.
Thank you. We believe. We receive.
Lord, you see your people standing before you with their hands open. I ask you, Lord, fill those hands.
Yes.
Fill those hands with a fresh, new anointing. That any time they shake someone's hand, the person feels the warmth. Or any time they do little deeds, they can see your love in these people. Lord, everything we have, we get from you. And we've got to have this from you, this servant heart. It's got to come from you. And Lord, we love you and praise you, Lord, to take us up another level of servanthood, especially of revelation. And show us what a servant you were, even unto death. That you were willing to give up all the good things that you could have and suffer even the death of the cross. Divested yourself of all of these things. Oh, I thank you and praise you that you set such a beautiful example for us. And now we say, change us, Lord.
Change us.
Change us, change us, change us. And we reach out to take that fresh new anointing in the power of the Holy Spirit that we can say on this day in July, whatever it is, somebody know?
28th.
On July the 28th. something new and fresh happened to us. And we got a different heart, a softer heart. And we got an understanding, a revelation of the kingdom. We didn't realize we're building the very kingdom we're going to spend eternity in. And so, Lord, we're just asking you to give us revelation of these things. And let this be a day that's different from all the other days. That we step into the things that we've never had before. And we receive it at your hand, Lord.
Yes, we do.
And forgive us for selfishness. Forgive us for disobedience. Yes, forgive us, oh God, for disinterest and lack of commitment. And Lord, make us dedicated and committed to that wonderful kingdom reality. And help us understand it more and more every day. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. Amen.